You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
And Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tropical Depression Bertha was skirting along the Gulf. Did you dodge a bullet this time?
Absolutely. We didn't even know it happened. But it is hurricane season, and that always makes you think whenever you get into this time of year, because you don't want a hurricane in your neighborhood.
Now, President Trump told us after day one of bombing of Iran that the war was essentially over. No need to look at things here. Nothing's going to happen. Well, they're still bombing, and it's months later, and the price of oil is still high. What's the story there?
Well, Jim, I wrote in the March letter right after this started. You know, this thing kicked off on February 28th, right? I point out, as the market was trying to peak, trying to roll over, it had begun to roll over, actually. If you go back and look at a chart, and magically the war announcement comes along, and I made the comment in the letter, and I think we probably talked about it, that this was, from my perspective, a cover story to let a little air out of the bag, which they did into late March, and then to reinflate, which is exactly what we have seen. And here we are again. If someone will pull up a chart and look at it, the market peaked in early July. I don't have that date. And then now we're seeing a little bit of weakness. It looks like it's trying to roll over again out of, in my world, what is it, an intermediate degree top. And here we have this thing starting again. So it's a play. You know, I proved this looking at, it sounds crazy, but I've proved this looking at charts throughout history and looking at, I did a study on the Federal Reserve expansion of debt and took the curve and extracted, you know, some data where you could see the acceleration points. And, you know, events like this always happen when the market gets to a critical juncture. And I think this is another one of those plays to try to reinflate, just like with COVID, and just like, following the 07, 08 decline in 09 with the QE programs and the stimulus that we saw coming out of there, except this time what we're seeing is a proactive effort to prevent a downturn here.
So there's active manipulation. Is the goal to try to keep this thing suspended in the air, even though there's nothing to support it?
Jim, from my unique perspective, you know, it goes back to the thing that we've been talking about for a while now. What's at risk here is not just a correction. It's the entire, and I know this sounds extreme, but I've got the data to support it, and subscribers are seeing that information. What's at risk here is the entire global financial system. And you know, there is a battle underway to try to hold the system together. This entire, we've talked about this before, but you know, something I discovered is these long-term economic cycles, and the current long-term economic cycle has been solely based on stimulus. And that started coming out of the 02 low. And we saw the first attempted downturn out of that low in 07 and into the 09 low. And then we saw, you know, the market was fueled into the top. We saw a proactive stance trying to, you know, hold the market in 18 and 19, and nobody probably remembers this, but I watched it, and it was the first time I observed it in 18 and 19 with the Trump tariffs. And they would announce, you probably will remember this as I mention it, but they had this on again, off again tariff news. We had a trade deal with China. Well, no, we don't have a trade deal with China. No, we do. Now we don't. And that went on for, you know, in 18 and into 19, trying to proactively hold the market up. And then we had the finally had it cracked into the COVID downturn. And then COVID was used as kind of a cover story from a financial perspective. And then the stimulus that came out of that, that fueled us to where we are now. And we're seeing the same game. It's the same game, different narratives. So yes, you know, manipulation in the market is not conspiracy, it's absolute fact. And the reason that we're seeing it is because there is, in my opinion, I'm speculating on that part, but it's reasonable to me as you connect the dots and understand this, is that because there is a lot more at risk here than just a correction.
Now, with gold, it's down $100 today. Would you think gold would be stronger considering that other things are weaker?
No. This fits the narrative perfectly. And I've written about this. Gold served as an inflationary hedge. We all know that. You will agree with that. Everybody agrees with that, right? Gold's an inflationary hedge, right? And gold, therefore, did very well ever since the bottoming, you know, around that 99-2000 low. And, you know, that was a 9-year cycle low. And then gold really started to perform as we moved forward out of that low, and it's been going up basically ever since. And you know, it was explosive into the January of 2026 high, and that was, and from my seat, that has all been a reflection of the inflationary forces, the expansion of debt, the creation of the inflation. So it served as an inflationary hedge. And I wrote last year, and probably before that, and we probably have talked about this, that gold, being that it's an inflationary hedge, and being that what they're really fighting here, like I said before, is the entire global financial fiat-based global financial system, that once that starts to take hold, or when the deflation starts to take hold, and we start to see the setting up for a downturn, then gold would be the canary in the coal mine, because if the inflation starts to fail at holding the system together, then, you know, we would see a weakening of gold. And I think that this weakening of gold, if this at all makes sense, is, like I said, the canary in the coal mine of the deflationary forces that lie ahead. Now, the question is, can they successfully, you know, prevent this downturn? Like I said, there is a battle. There's a battle to save the system and keep the thing you know, intact. It's like Richard Russell said many, many years ago in regard to fiat debt-based system. It's inflate or die. And that's what they're trying to do. And gold is telling us that perhaps this inflationary effort is about to fail.
Now, right now, I don't know if you can comment on this. I call it AI out of the bottle. Apparently, an AI program or two programs that were supposed to be just running on a test bed isolated found their way onto the internet and started hacking into other programs. Is that something that they have to worry about with all these people pouring billions into AI data centers, that perhaps they're going to create creatures we can't control?
I don't know about that, because that's out of my wheelhouse, but I can tell you what I know about, or what makes sense to me. Well, not what makes sense. It's obvious. I've written about this too in some of the letters in detail. This AI build out, if you will, it is an effort. If people look into it, it is an effort to create, you know, they call it a bubble. They're calling it a bubble. And I think that is, I'm trying to pick my words here. I'm thinking that is a bit of a, let's just say a stretch. I don't think that the AI thing is a bubble. I think it's an act of desperation. What they are doing is trying to sell the notion that AI is some kind of bubble, like the technology bubble in the dot-com bubble and the cellular bubble and all that, you know, that technology era, tech era of the late 90s into the 2000 top. And I was there. I was in that. I was involved. I was working at a cellular communications headquarters or corporate headquarters for a cellular company. This is not the same. And what I think is going on is, you know, obviously they want the data centers in place for surveillance reasons is what it's really all about, in my opinion. But it's also a stimulus. It's also, you know, they're doing everything they can to stimulate the economy, and this build out is providing a false, how do I even word it? It's an attempt to create another economic stimulus through this this build out program, and I guess in short, it's just another attempt to reinflate in the background. And then what's going to happen? And I will stand. I'll go out on a limb, make a prediction here. I think what's going to happen. I'm not saying I'm right. It's just my opinion at this point. Well, I see their handwriting on the wall, if you will. But what I think is going to happen is if this economic downturn, if they can't control it and this thing does bite and we do get a downturn like I think, then this AI thing is going to be, the financing of these data centers is going to be in real trouble. And when that happens, they finance, part of the financing has been done with non-recourse bonds, which has been sold and put in people's portfolios and, you know, pensions and, you know, who knows where, you know, it's kind of like the what do we call it? What was it called? The, subprime mortgage fiasco in 07, 08. So you have these sketchy, debt instruments, scattered in people's portfolios. And then what's going to happen, these non-recourse debt instruments, I might add. And then what's going to happen is, that's going to pave the way then for the government to come in and bail those out, which is more stimulus. So, you know, more government spending, more debt. And so this all points to trying to save the system with economic stimulus.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, is the goal of all these AI data centers to lay off half the workforce?
I don't think so. I don't buy that. And I'm not saying I'm right. I don't have all the answers, but I'm not buying that at all. I mean, obviously AI can replace some jobs, kind of like robotics. I'm not denying that. But I think the goal of the AI data centers is going to be surveillance.
The government just wants to keep a better eye on you.
Of course. We got to record every conversation, every text, I know a lot of that's already going on, but yeah, we got to have credit scores probably. We got to have biometric IDs eventually probably. And I think that's more, and that's just my opinion. I mean, you don't have to agree with me, neither does anyone else. It's my opinion only. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's what it's all about.
Well, China's certainly gone that way already.
We got to tile the flock cameras into it. We got to, you know, all the vehicles now monitor you, and you got to have a place to store all this data, you know. And I think the AI portion of it is going to be able to sort and compartmentalize, analyze, and use this data in some sort of compartmentalized fashion where they can, like I said, I don't know, rambling here, but you know, to analyze the data. I think AI is going to be used to analyze the data.
Is ICE building these giant detention centers to help house the rioters once people are laid off by AI or feel they're being abused by its surveillance?
I don't know.
I haven't delved into that. I mean, it kind of makes sense what you said, that it could be, but I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that, but anything's possible.
Hmm. Now, if the market's manipulated and so on, is there a safe place to put your money right now?
I don't give specific financial advice. I'm not doing that. I do market analysis, and people can do with it as they see fit. I think that, and it sounds crazy to say, but I have been saying it, and I think the dollar, you know, people don't see it that way. I know that the popular belief is the dollar is trash, the dollar's going to go to zero, the dollar's going to, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I talk about the fiat debt-based system, and it sounds like, well, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. No, I'm not. I think for now that, and I ultimately, I mean, my opinion on the dollar will change, but right now I think that the risk is so great with the downturn out of this long-term economic cycle that personally I just wouldn't want any exposure to anything. And so what I'm saying is, I feel like, you know, you've heard, remember the phrase, it's been a long time since we heard it, but the dollar is king. Mm-hmm. And if you look back at these other long-term economic cycles throughout history, the dollar was king. And so I think that, that knowing that history and understanding the risk that I think I see, I think that makes more sense than anything at this juncture.
Now, Canada is going to be allowing the import of a small number, 49,000 Chinese electric vehicles. Are we inviting a surveillance state into our country?
My opinion is yes. I don't know anything about the vehicles, but that's already coming to the U.S. I mean, the newer vehicles, and I'm no expert on this. I've just seen it, you know, superficially, but the vehicles, they monitor your eyes. They monitor your driving. If you turn your head, they'll take over and, you know, make certain maneuvers and, cut the power of the engine or whatever. And I've heard about, I watched several videos on this where, you know, the vehicles, they listen to you. They record your rate of acceleration, your rate of braking, your average speed. They record everything about you being in that vehicle and your driving. And again, all that data has to be stored, processed, and used. And I think that, too, is part of what these centers are about.
Yeah, we just had a video here in Vancouver of a woman asleep in her Tesla, her head hanging off to their side, her eyes closed, with her kids in the back as it's barreling down the highway.
That could be propaganda.
Oh.
But I get your point. So I see it two ways. Maybe I misspoke. Oh. So what that could be, where I was going, is that could be a justification for needing all of this stuff to keep everybody safe. But then on the other hand, what I think you're saying is that it's a self-driving vehicle because it can see and it's doing everything itself. It's operating itself, I think, is the point you were making, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd have no problem crawling in the back and let the car do all the work. But, of course, sometimes we just had an incident here where Google Maps told people this hike over a mountain would take 5 hours. Well, it didn't take into account the mountainous terrain and the cliffs and waterfalls in the way. So relying on these artificial intelligences to, you know, tell you where to go and how to get there, sometimes it doesn't work.
I would agree with that. And if you think about something, or at least the way I see it again, I would argue that all of this technology that we supposedly now have, or that we do have, but it's supposedly to make us more efficient, right? More efficient. Well, I will argue with you till the cows come home that it has not made our life more efficient. It's made it far more inefficient. It's harder to get anything done. People can't do simple arithmetic. They can't do, you know, count change. They can't, I mean, if the internet's down, hell, they can't take your order at some restaurants. You know, they can't check you out at the grocery store. They can't, you know, so, you know, it frustrates me. I don't think that the technology has improved in every aspect, at least, our quality of life, or made things as a whole more efficient.
Well, I don't see the efficiency where all your employees are on their phones instead of doing their jobs.
Well, that would have been untolerated when I was a young kid working, you know, going to school and, you know, my early 20s and that sort of thing. We learned a work ethic, and it didn't involve internet and cell phones and, you know, in any facet whatsoever.
Yeah, you couldn't have been on the regular phone to your girlfriend when you were supposed to be working. But it's okay now.
Yeah. It's okay now because of the world we live in.
So, Tim, what's your overview of what's happening on the stock markets right now?
My overview is that we probably have an intermediate term top in place. The overall setup with this higher degree turn is it's been like I don't know. It's been a very, very slow process in the making. The longest, in fact, as I look at these downturns out of these other long term economic cycles, this is probably the longest one. You know, the longest setup that it's taking to evolve. And I think the reason behind that is simply not that it's not happening. I think the reason behind that is, like I said, there is a war between the natural forces of the market to roll over out of this long-term cycle and the forces to try to prevent that. And that's what we're seeing. The cycle will express itself. It is setting up, and that's what I'm following and reporting on in the research letter, so that, you know, to give people a roadmap of where we are and what's happening as it develops. But my assessment is it's all in the making. It's all in the making, and I think we got an intermediate term top here, and that'll give us a structural footing for something more to develop. But we have to see how that develops. And again, that'll be following in the research letter.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He was speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.